Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Ksubos, Daf Tzadi Gimel. I'm dictating this on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and it's an opportunity for me to wish a very, very special good Geben Shdor, Kesiva V'Chasima Tova to all the people listening to the Shurim. I hope they're enjoyable. I hope you're gaining a lot from them. It gives me tremendous pleasure to give the Shurim, and I wish all of my listeners to have a good Geben Shdor, Kesiva V'Chasima Tova. We're learning today's shir, Lili Nishmas Laya Lostig, Leia Golda Bas Avi Ezra Zelig. All the neshamas we learned for this year should have an aliyah, and all those in need of a refuah shleima should have one b'mehera. We begin on Sadi Gimel Omer Aleph, six lines down from the top with the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Mishaya Nosi Shalosh Noshim. If a man was married to three women. Again, this is not something that I pointed out many times is ever recommended. The Torah permits it under certain situations. It was actually usually permitted in order to allow women to be protected and to have support financially by having a husband. And the Gemara talks about that if a wealthy person is able to support wives, so then maybe having more than one wife would be appropriate, especially if there were not enough husbands to be able to support the women. In any event, this man had three wives. Mishaya Nosui Shalosh Noshim. He had three wives, and Nebuchi passes away. Umeis. So Ksubasa Shalzumana, Vishalzuma Sayim, Vishalzu Shalosh Meos. Each of the women had a different Ksuba. The first wife had a Ksuba of 100 Zuz. A mana. The second wife had a ksuba of 2 mana, which is Mosayim, 200 zuz. And the third wife had a ksuba of 3 mana, which is 300 zuz. Now, the Ein Shom Elamana. Now, the estate only has 100 zuz. We'll try to keep talking always in the zuz so we don't get mixed up between mana and zuzim. And likewise, when we have dinarim, a golden dinar is 25 zuzim. I'll try to always keep the same terminology to keep the units the same to make it a little bit easier. So in this situation, the estate only had 100 zuz, and you have 100, 200, and 300 kesubas. Now, all three of the women were married at the same time. As Rashi points out, we're dealing over here, shloshtan nichtemu b'yom echad. They all got married on the same day, because deed b'tlos yomi, if there were different times, so then wife number one would have a priority on the estate, versus wife number two, versus wife number three, and so on. So here we're dealing, Rashi says, that they all signed on the same day, because deed b'tlos yomi, hakodemus b'shtar, kodemus b'givoy. So then the one that had the earlier ksuba, if they had different dates, would be entitled to the entire satisfaction of her ksuba before any of the other wives would be able to go collect. So here, neither one has a priority in terms of the date. So in this situation, the Mishnah tells us, cholkin b'shava. So they divide up the 100 zuz, each will get 33 and a third zuz, and that's the way it goes. Now, the Mishnah continues and tells us what happens if the estate had 200. Hayusha Masayim. The estate had 200. And again, we're dealing over here that one wife is owed 100, one wife is owed 200, one wife is owed 300. So in this situation, the wife that is owed the ksuba of 100, Shalmoneh Noteles Chamishim, she gets 50 zuz. The one that has the ksuba Shal Masayim, and also the Shalosh Meos, and the one that has the ksuba of 300, they get the same amount. Shlosha, Shlosha Shal Zov. They each get 3 Zohav dinarim, which each dinar of Zohav, as I said, is 25 zuz. So they each get 3 times 25, so each of them will collect 75 zuz. So wife number one with the ksuba of 100 gets 50. Wife number two and wife number three with the respective ksubas of 200 and 300 each get 75. 50 plus 75 plus 75 is 200. That's the entire estate. Again, here we're also dealing with all three women were married the same day. Neither ksuba has a priority. And the same thing in the next case, the third case of the Mishnah. Hayusham shalosh meos. The estate had 300 zuz in it. So now you have one wife with a 100 ksuba, one wife with a 200 ksuba, one wife with a 300 ksuba. But there's only 300 in the estate. So in this situation, the Mishnah says, shomaneh no teles chamishim. The one who's entitled to the ksuba of 100 gets 50. The one that's entitled to the ksuba shel masayim, she gets 100 mana, 100 zuz. And shel shlosh meos, the woman who had the ksuba of 300, she'll get shisha shel zov, 6 golden dinarim. Again, each dinar is 25, so 6 times 25 is 150. So in this third case of the Mishnah, we break it up 50, 100, and 150. Now, I haven't explained why in the second case we broke it up 50, 75, 75, when there was only 200 in the estate, and I haven't explained why in the third case we broke it up to be 50, 100, and 150. The Gemara will discuss exactly what we're talking about. In the first case, it was simple. Everybody had a claim equally on the 100 zuz in the estate. So wife number one with the ksuba of 100 had a claim on the full amount. Wife number two had a claim on the full amount. Wife number three had a claim on the full amount. That's why they divided it up a third, a third, a third, 33.3 of the estate. But in case number two or case number three, they don't all have an equal claim on it because the estate had 200 or 300, case two, 200, case three, 300, and wife number one only has a claim for 100. So she doesn't have a claim on the entire estate. So therefore, it's going to be divided up differently, but we'll wait till we get to the Gemara, which we'll see in a moment after we finish off the Mishnah. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, the same halacha supply. Now, Tosus points out that this is referring in Divra Masel V'chein Shlosha She'etilu L'kis. So this case that we're dealing with three partners, they put together money into a partnership. So in this situation, the Gemara says, Pichasu Ohosiru Kach Hein Chokin. Whether it goes up or it goes down, they divide it up in a prorated amount. So if one put in 100, one put in 200, one put in 300, and the partnership goes up a certain amount or goes down a certain amount, so the yield, the benefit, or the loss is shared in a prorated fashion. And Tosus says, in Dibur Masel Chein Shlosha, is lo heavy mamish dumya dereisha. This isn't exactly like dereisha. It's the comparison, the Rabbeinu Chananel says, at the end of this Tosos, above a basrei sukkah, it's talking about the last one where we divided it up, the 300 into 50, 100, and 150. That's actually prorated. Each of them got, in that situation, a percentage of their ksuba. Each of them got half of their ksuba. So to over here, in this situation, the profits or the losses would be divided up in a prorated fashion. Depending on what they put in, that would be what they would get out. Okay, now we start the Gemara. Gemara says, in the second case in the Mishnah, where we had a estate worth 200, and you had the three women married on the same day, one with the ksuba of 100, one with the ksuba of 200, one with the ksuba of 300. So we said in that situation that the ksuba of 100 gets 50, and the woman with the ksuba of 200 and 300, respectively, each get 75. So the Gemara questions, Shaman and Otelis Chamishim, the first one gets Chamishim, it should have been Tlosin Utlosa Vitilsa Hudisla. We should have divided it up, that the first 100 that they all have an equal claim on. So just like in the first case of the Mishnah, we said you divide it equally, each one gets 33 in the third. So why in the second case don't we say on the first 100 that's in the estate, each of them has an equal claim, so each of them should get 33 in the third. And then on the second 100, it's only between wife number two and wife number three with the respective claims of a 200 ksuba and a 300 ksuba, they have an equal claim on that second 100, which the first one has no claim on whatsoever. So each of them should get 33 and a third from the first ksuba, first 100 of the ksuba, and from the second 100 of the ksuba, it should be 50 to wife number two and 50 to wife number three. So Amar Shmuel, why is that not the case? Because you know why Shmuel says, Bechosedes balas masayim lebalas mona, din udvarim ein li imoch b'mona. Because wife number two, again, I'll call them wife number one with the 100, wife number two with the 200 ksuba, and wife number three, we'll call it the 300 ksuba. So wife number two is saying over here to wife number one, I want to argue with you. So therefore, it's as if Shmuel is saying that she removed herself from that first 100. So therefore, wife number one should get 50 because there's only one other person arguing with her. So therefore, she's entitled to 50. That's what Shmuel seems to be saying. More questions this and says, if that's true, so then ihachi emasefa, then keep on reading. In the case that we just described, where the first wife gets 50, so we said the second wife and the third wife get each 75. Each of them gets 3 dinari zav, 75, 3 times 25. So ihachi emasefa, shal masayim, the wife with 200 ksuba, v'shal shalosh shmeyos, the wife with 300 ksuba, they each get shalosh shalosh zav, 3 dinarim. Each of them gets 3 dinarim. Dinarim of zav are 25 zuz, so it's 3 times 25, each of them is 75. But if you're telling me that wife number two said, I'm not going to have dinu dvarim with you, so tema lo hasalkas nafshach mina. You've essentially given up on that first 100. You basically told wife number one, you can have my share, so to say. So therefore, we should divide up. Wife number three tells wife number two, 50-50 between wife number one and wife number three on the first 100, and then we could go 50-50 on the second 100. So you should only get 50, not 75, and wife number three should get the extra money from the first 100. She should take 50 from the first 100 and 50 from the second 100, so she should get 100. And wife number two should only get 50, and wife number one should get the 50, because wife number two basically said, Dinu dvarim ein limoch b'mona, on the first 100. If Shmuel is right, then we have a problem. So one says, no, Shmuel is right. But what does it mean? Din udvarim ein li yimach b'mane, mishum d'armelo, when she said this, mi din udvarim hu desalike nafshoi. But I didn't remove myself from the claim. I said, I won't argue with you. So you grab 50, fine, gesundheit. Now, This is very hard to understand because wife number three is being impacted by what wife number two said. So there are mefarshim that explain over here that wife number three also said dinu dvarim ein li imach b'mona. So therefore, they basically all said, wife number one, okay, you took 50, we'll give you the 50. No, the other 50, they're going to divide up between the two of them. So each of them is going to get 25 of that other 50. And then they'll get half of the 100 of the second 100. So that's 25 plus 50. Each of them will get 75. That's the best way to understand this. There are a lot of ways that the Mefarshim answer this. To me, that was the easiest and simplest way to say that wife number three was also basically saying to wife number one, I'm also not going to have dinu dvarim with you. So it's not only wife number two, it's really wife number three saying it as well. The problem with this explanation is, why did the Gemara say so? But that still is the easiest way to understand this. Gemara now says, in the third case, if the state had 300, so then we said, you divided up 50, 100, and 150, respectively, between wives 1, 2, and 3. Now the Gemara says, Shel Mosayim Mane Shivim V'chamisha Hu D'Isla. Why did wife number 2 get 100? She really only should have gotten 75. Why is that? Because if you break it up, on the first 100, we said that wife number 1 got 50, and that's all she's going to be entitled to. And wife number 2 and wife number 3 got 25. So on the first 100, wife 2 gets 25, wife 3 gets 25. On the second 100, which wife 2 has an equal claim to, as does wife 3, they should divide it up 50-50. So wife number 2 is now no longer claiming any money. She has given up her claim on the full amount she was entitled to the first 100. She got 50% that she was entitled to on the second 100. That should only be 75. And the full 100 of the third 100, that should go totally to wife number 3. So how come we're saying in this situation that wife number 2 gets 100? She should only get 25 plus 50, which is 75. That's Gemara's question. Why does she get 100? Shivim chamisha hu diyisla. So Gemara says, I'm a Shmuel. Shmuel again tells us over here, b'kosev es balas shlosh meos lebalas mosayim ulebalas mona dinu dvarim ein li imochem b'mona. It's wife number 3 who's now saying, I won't have anything to do with the first 100. So in the first 100, now we're saying that wife 1 gets 50, wife 2 gets 50, wife 3 got nothing. In the second 100, they split it 50-50 between wife 2 and 3, so wife number 2 now gets another 50, plus the 50 she got for the first 100, that makes her have 100 altogether. Wife number 1 is not entitled to anything from the second 100, so she has her 50, and wife number 3 is entitled to the third 100 in its entirety. So therefore, she gets 50 from the second 100, 100 from the third 100, and that's where she gets 150. So this is the scenario according to Shmuel. Very good. That's Shmuel's explanation of our Mishnah. Rav Yaakov in Nahar Pekod, Mishmei de Ravina Amar, Rav Yaakov, who comes from the city called Nahar Pekod, said over the name of Ravina, the following explanation of our Mishnah. He said that you're talking about in the Resha, which means case number 2, Bishtei Tfizos, and in the Sefer, case number 3, Bishtei Tfizos. You're talking about 2 Tfizos. What does it mean, Tfizos? Tfizos means that the money came into the estate in 2 steps. So therefore, the first case was, Ravina explains, as Rav Yaakov in Harpa Kod says, Reisha Bishtei Tefisos. What are we dealing over here? That the first amount of money that came to the estate was Dinaflu Shivin V'chamisha B'chad Zimna, and then Umeya V'esu V'chamisha B'chad Zimna, and then the other 125 came in. So the total of 200 in case number 2 was in the estate, but it didn't come in all at once. 75 came in first, and then 125 came in afterwards. So in the first 75 that came in, each of them had an equal claim to it. Wife number 1, wife number 2, wife number 3, they all had at least a minimum claim of 100. This was only 75. So wife number 1 makes a claim for her. Wife 2 makes a claim for her. Wife 3 makes a claim for her. So they split it. So each of them from the first 75 that fell got 25. Then another 125 fell to the estate of the dead husband. So now each of the wives has gotten 25, so you have to deduct that from their total claim. So wife number 1 now, instead of a claim of 100, has a claim of only 75. Wife number 2 has a claim of 175. Wife number 3 has a claim of 275. So in this other 125, each of them has a claim equally on the first 75 of that. Wife number 1 still has a claim of 75. Wife 2 certainly has. She has 175, so the first 75 is certainly within her claim, and certainly wife number 3 with 275 claim. So each of them has an equal claim to the first 75. So we give each of them 25 again. So right now, there is only going to be 50 left in the estate. So now, with 50 left in the estate, Wife number one has 50. Wife number two has 50. Wife number three has 50. On the last 50 left in the estate, wife number one has no claim, but wife number two and number three have an equal claim to it, so each of them gets half of that 50, 25. So this is how Rav Yaakov in Har Pakod says the name of Ravina, that wife number one gets 50, and wife number two gets 50 plus 25, which is 75, and wife number three gets 50 plus 25, which is 75. Oh, that explains case number two in the Mishnah. How did you explain case number three? So Rav Yaakov in Har Pakod said the name of Ravina as follows, Sefer Mishnei Tvizos as well. First, the Naflu Shivim Chamish B'chad Yoma, first 75 fell into the estate. That was divided up 25, 25, 25, because each had an equal claim to it. And then subsequently, Umasai V'yesim Chamisha B'chad Zimna. Then the other 225 of the total 300 fell to the estate. Of this 225, the first 75 of it are split evenly. So each of them now has 50. The 25 they got from the first 75 and 25 from now. But now, wife number one is out of it because she's used up her claim. By claiming 75 of this remaining 225, she's now out of the game. So, in reality, the last part of this 225, which is 150, is going to be claimed between wife 2 and 3. But wife number 2 only has 100 left to claim of the remaining 150, because 75 was just claimed, and she only has 175 altogether. So, therefore, she only has a claim on the remaining 100 of this 150, and therefore, she gets half of that. So you add to her previous 50 that she got, 25 for the first 75, 25 for the second 75, plus 50 of this last 100. So therefore, she'll have a total of 100. And then there's still 50 left, and that's all going to go to wife number three, because she's the only one left with any claim, because she had a claim of 275, and she's the only one left with anything to claim, and therefore, she'll get the last 50 herself. And that's how Yaakov ben Harpa Code, Mishmei Ravina, gives a different way than what Shmuel said in order to get the case division in case number three to be 50, 100, and 150. That's teretz number two. Now the Gemara tells us that not everybody agrees with this. Tanya, we learn the following brisa, that zu mishnas Rabbi Nosson, that these explanations in our Mishnah, either from Shmuel or Yaakov ben Harpa Kod, Mishmei the Ravina, is only going according to this Mishnah as understood by Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi disagrees. Rabbi Omer, ein ani roed devar shal Rabbi Nosson be'elu, ela holkos b'shava. I disagree with this division of 50, 75, 75 in case number 2, and 50, 100, and 150 in case number 3. The Rebbe's opinion is they divided up equally. Elachokos b'shaveh, they divided all up exactly evenly. So in the case of 300, they divided up 100, 100, 100, because the first one has the right to claim. She's claiming all the 300 to pay off her 100. Second one is claiming all the 300 to pay off her 200. And the third one's claiming all the 300 to pay off her 300. So you divided up 100, 100, 100 in case number 3, and you divided up 200 divided by 3 in case number 2. That's Rabbi's opinion. Then the Mishnah had concluded and said, if three partners put in 100, 200, and 300, so then the Mishnah said, we follow case number 3, which is to prorate it, which is 50, 100, and 150 in our Mishnah. Amr Shmuel says, Shnayim Sheitilu Lekis, Zem Monev Zem Osayim. Let's say there were two partners, and one put into the kitty 100 for the business, and one put into the kitty 200 for the business. Return to Tzadikim Lamed Beis, Haschar Liemtza. So the profit is going to be shared equally. He says that the profit is going to be shared equally, not in a pro-weighted way. Amr Rabba. Rabba says, Mistabra Milsei de Shmuel Bishor Lecharisha, the Omen Lecharisha. This makes sense. If you, let's say the partnership with the 100 and 200 was put in, and with 300 they buy an ox that's used for plowing, and they rent it out. And now, every time they rent it out, it makes $100. So therefore, they split it 50-50. Why is that? Because the one who put in 200 still needs the 100 to have bought the ox. The one who put in 100 needed the 200. So therefore, they're each even partners in the profits to come out from this, because each one needed the other one. The 200 can't say, well, I needed it less than you do. The bottom line is they each need each other. And therefore, as the top Rashi says, Chokin Bishava, they divided up. And then the next Rashi, Shor L'Charisha, because Shalachu Behen Shor L'Achrosh, they purchased a plowing ox, the Chorshin Bo, and they plowed it or they lend it out. Vein Chelko Shazeh, Moel below Chelko Shazeh, Klum. The person who has a 200 would be nowhere. He wouldn't have an ox if he didn't have the 100 from the other guy. Hilka cholkim b'shava. So Rabbi says, I can understand Shmuel that they split the profits evenly when you purchase the cow or an ox for plowing and you use it for plowing. However, Aval Lashar, if back to the Gemara, you purchased the Shar Lacharisha originally for purchasing it. Tosus points out Zivra Bigger Khadish to say that they purchased it Lacharisha. Certainly if they purchased it Lashita, the din would be this way. But even if they purchased it Lacharisha and then they changed their mind, the Omed Latvicha, and they changed their mind to say, now let's go shecht it. Either the plowing wasn't needed or the price of meat went up so much that it was more worthwhile for them to go and shecht it. So then in this situation, Zeno Telefi Ma'osov, Zeno Telefi Ma'osov. Then Rabba is saying, in this scenario, it would not make sense to split it 50-50 because this one put in 2/3 of the cost of the cow. This one put in only 1/3 of the cost of the cow. How can they go and split the cow now 50-50? So therefore, Rabba says, if you're using it for shechita, letvicha purposes, then they split it in a prorated way, not 50-50. Nevertheless, Rav Hamnuna disagrees. Rav Hamnuna Amar, even in this situation, even if they purchased it originally for Charisha purposes, and then they shechted it, the profit they would get. So let's say the cow is now worth $500. So they each get back the money that they put in, and they split the profit evenly between them. We're not saying that you'd split it 500, each gets 250. No, that's crazy. But in this situation, after they take out the principal that they put in, the 300 that they put in, 100 and 200, so then the profit of 500, which is a profit of 200, the additional profit, that would be split 100 to first partner, 100 to the second partner. That's what Rav Hamnuna says. More now questions. Meisvei, we have the following brisa. It says, Shnayim sheitilu lekis. If two people put money into a group partnership, zem one of zem asayim, one put in 100, one put in 200. Haschar liemtza, the profit is divided up evenly. My lav bishor lecharish of omen letzvicha utiyufta deraba. Isn't this going exactly the Rav Hamnuna that the profit is split 50-50 in this situation? Haschar liemtza, exactly like Shmuel had said as well, and not like Rabba's qualification of Shmuel. So kasha tiyufta on Rabba. Where says lo? Who says the Bryce is talking about that it was bishor lecharish of omen letzvicha? No. This is talking about Bishor L'Charisha of Omer L'Charisha. And Rabba agreed with Shmuel, agreed with the opinion of Rav Hamnuna, that in that situation, that you split the profits even, because each one can say to the other, you can't do anything without my share. As Rashi had pointed out, Ein Chalko Shozeh, Mo B'lo Chalko Shozeh Klom. So therefore, it's talking about Bishor L'Charisha, Omer L'Charisha, and the Bryce is not a kasha on Rabba. It's in fact consistent with what Rabba, what Shmuel, and as well Rav Hamnuna all said. Mor says, wait a second. Avo shor, that implies shor lecharisha v'omid letzvicha mai. That implies if the price is only talking about shor lecharisha, omid lecharisha, shor lecharisha v'omid lecharisha, in that situation, only do you split the profits. Implication would be that it was shor lecharisha v'omid letzvicha mai. What would be that locha? Zeno telefim osav, zeno telefim osav. Then each of them would get it split exactly proportionate to how much they put in. So in this situation, if Rabba is correct, so then why did the Seifa of this Braisa give a different case? It should have pointed it out. That's the halach in the case of Omei L'Charisha V'Omei L'Tzvicha. Shor L'Charisha V'Omei L'Tzvicha. It should have said so instead of giving us a third case. Because Adatani Seifa, then why did it say at the end of the Braisa, Lo Kach Zeh B'Shalov Zeh B'Shalov V'Nisarvu. Let's say one person purchased an ox for 200 zuz, and then another person purchased an ox for 100 zuz, and only afterwards they become partners in this situation. What's the case? They're now using their oxen together as a team, and they're plowing together. So each one could have plowed on their own. So in this situation, it says in the Sefer, Zeh no telefim osav, Zeh no telefim osav. In this situation, then they're not equally sharing the profits, because this one could say, listen, my ox is doing 2/3 of the work. Your ox is only doing 1/3 of the work. My ox is stronger than your ox. I bought a $200 ox. You only bought a $100 ox. So Zeh no telefim osav, Zeh no telefim osav. In this situation, they take prorated the profits. So instead of giving us this third case, you should have just said, if Rabba is correct that Avol Shor L'Charisha V'Omer L'Tzvicha, you should have said, Liflo Gulisne B'Didei. You should have given us the same case and proven your point in the same case. Because B'Med V'Aramur, Rabba, you could have said, B'Shor L'Charisha V'Omer L'Charisha, that's when we go and split the profits 50-50. But Avol Shor L'Charisha V'Omer L'Tzvicha, Zeno Telefim Osav, Zeno Telefim Osav. Then we would split it in the prorated way. But the Braisa didn't say that. So therefore, Tiyufta de Rabba. Shmuel says, no, that's not what the Braisa said. Listen, this is how Rabba would interpret the Braisa. Hachanami Kamar, this is exactly what the Braisa is saying, like Rabba. But Medvar Mamurma, under what situation do we say the profits are split evenly? That's Meshor L'Charisha, Vomel L'Charisha. When the partnership goes and purchases an ox, and each one could purchase it on their own. So therefore, each one is sharing the profits 50-50, because as Rashi pointed out, Ein chalko shozeh, mo below chalko shozeh klom. The fact that he had $200 of the ox and the other guy only has $100 of the ox, bottom line is the ox ain't working unless you have the full ox. So therefore, you can't tell me that one has more rights to the profits than the other one. Each of them is a partner in the profits of 50-50. But the Braisa then says, Abo Bishor L'charish V'omil L'tvicha, if you're actually shechting this ox, so then Nase, it's like Kimisha Lokach Zeh B'Shalov V'Nisarbo, that one guy bought a $200 ox, a more powerful ox, and the other guy bought only a weaker ox, a $100 ox, and now they're plowing together as a team. Then the run who has the $200 ox has the right to say to the other one, my ox is doing more work, and therefore I'm entitled to 2/3 of the profit. You only get 1/3 of the profit. Zeh no telefi mosav, zeh no telefi mosav. And what Rabbi is saying is the case of Omeid Shor L'Charisha V'Omeid L'Tvicha is exactly like this case of the two oxen being put together afterwards as a team after they were purchased separately. In that situation, you prorate the profits. So no kasha on Rabbi from the Braisa. Now, we learned in our Mishnah, the end of our Mishnah said, V'chein Shlosha She'itilu L'Kis. If three people made a partnership, one put in 100, one put in 200, one put in 300, and then we said at the end of the Mishnah, Pichasu Ahosiru, if the partnership made a profit, or it lost money, kachein chokin. So they divide up the profits, or they divide up the losses in a prorated way. Now, my la pichasu, pichasu mamish, and hosiru, hosiru mamish, doesn't it mean in the Mishnah that when it says pichasu, it means that they suffered a loss, and hosiru means that they made a profit. In other words, they divide up the profits in a prorated way. Now, that is a kasha on Shmuel. Shmuel seemed to say that they don't divide up the profits in an equal way, they divide it up in a 50-50, so to say. Everybody would get an equal third. So, therefore, in this situation, it's the kasha on Shmuel. As Rashi points out, in Dira Masro, Pichasu, Pichasu, Mamash, V'chulei, Uktani, Kachen, Cholkin. They divide it up in the 50, 100, 150 ratio. So, therefore, each of them will get a different amount. Lefi Hamos, according to the amount that they put in. V'tiyuf, the Shmuel says that you divide the profits up evenly. So, the Gemara says, no, it's not a kasha on Shmuel. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Ravua. Rav Nachman says the name of Rabba Baravua. Lo. Hosiru, when it meant over here Hosiru, it's talking about the coinage they put in. They had put in originally old coins. One put in 50, one put in 100, one put in 150 of old coins. And through the business, they were able to exchange their old coins for new coins. And that's what it means over here. When it said Hosiru, it didn't mean that they profited. Lo. It meant Hosiru Zuze Chariti. The profit that we're talking about over here was they now had new coins. So now when you divide it up, you give them back prorated each value of their coins. This guy gets 50, this guy gets 100, this guy gets 150. But we're not talking about the profits. If there were profits, they would divide that up evenly, like Shmuel said. Similarly, when it said Pichasu, what it meant was Astira Ditsunisa. What it meant over here was that those coins were no longer considered valid coins for financial transactions. Those coins lost their status. Often they would have, for example, when a king died, that those coins no longer were considered acceptable for currency because the new king minted new coins. So therefore, their coins were only good for Astira Ditsunisa. What is that? As Rashi points out in Dibur Masli Astira Ditsunisa, she nifsala hamatbeya v'eno yotzeis bohotzah. That coin no longer was considered valid currency and couldn't be used for currency, and therefore, umishi eshlo makav efisas raglo, somebody who had some sort of injury to the bottom of their foot, so they would kosher mehem sham dema'ayile chaluda didhu. They would go and put this coin there, somehow the rust on it or the metal on it would somehow heal the foot. I have no idea what they're talking about from a medical point of view, but that was their custom. And therefore, in this situation, what we're dealing over here, Rav Nachman or Rav Ruah says, is that the coins went down in value. So again, we split it, that each of them gets back the coins, the amount that they put in, the 50, 100, or 150, but not that the value over here of a loss, that they would split equally, a third, a third, a third. So there's no kasha on Shmuel from our Mishnah. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us over here, Mishah Yonasi Arbanoshim. Here a man marries four wives. Again, the Gemara elsewhere says that if a man can afford to do so, that four wives would be the maximum, so to say, that he would have, because this way he would have ona with them once each week, and if he could support four, so that would be appropriate number, a maximum number. In any event, never suggested, never recommended. It's only in somewhat of an extenuating circumstances. The Mishnah tells us if the man has four wives, and then Nebuchadnezzar dies, umes. So harishona, now here you have the wives who married at different times. So each of them has a prior lien. The first wife has the prior lien on anything in the estate. Then the second wife, if the first wife's paid off, then she'll get it because she has a prior lien than wives three and four, and vice versa. But wife number three has a prior lien than wife number four. And wife number four, the last wife, she has the latest ksuba. She'll only collect the ksuba if there's anything left in the estate after wives one, two, and three collected. So in this situation, the husband dies, so wife number one collects her ksuba, harishona kodemes l'shniya, as well as to the third and fourth wife. So she gets first dibs. She gets her entire ksuba from the estate, and only then will wife number two collect. Ushniya l'shlisha, same thing. Wife number two will get her entire ksuba before wife number three collects. And likewise, ushlisha's revis, and wife number three will collect her entire ksuba before wife number four collects anything. The rishona nishbas l'shniya, ushniya l'shlisha, ushlisha's revis, varavis nifrash l'shvua. But they have to make a shua. Each of them can be asked by the other wives to make a shua to say that you didn't collect your ksuba in any other way. So wife number one has to swear to the others, really to wife number two, because wife number two is the next one in line, that yes, I didn't collect my ksuba in any other way. And then she takes her ksuba. Wife number two swears to knife number three. Wife number three swears to knife number four. Wife number four. And wife number four doesn't have to swear to anybody, at least according to the Tanakhama. Because who's she supposed to swear to? As Gemara will discuss. Now, Benanis disagrees. Benanis Omer, no. V'chi mipnei shehi achrona niskeres. She should gain, so to say, by being the last one. She should also have to make a shua. Avhi lo tipara ela b'shua. She also cannot collect without making a shua. Tomorrow will give us several explanations to who she's making the shua to and why should she have to make a shua, because after all, the others all collected the ksuba. Okay, wait till we get to the Gemara to answer that. Mishnah continues and says, if all of them were to go out on the same day, in other words, if all of the ksubas were actually written on the same day, there isn't a priority one versus the other. So then, in some places, as we'll see in Yerushalayim, so then, they didn't all get married at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One got married at 9 o'clock in the morning. One got married at 10 o'clock in the morning. One got married at 11 o'clock in the morning. One got married at noon. In that situation, if they wrote it into the ksuba, that it wasn't just on this day, but it was at this time. So then there's a prior lien. The 9 o'clock ksuba, it was written before the 10 o'clock ksuba, before the 11 o'clock ksuba, before the 12 o'clock ksuba, and therefore, the earlier ksuba would be, in this situation, zoch sa. She would first get entitlement to the estate, even though she was only married 1 hour earlier. And in fact, the kach yukosum, Yerushalayim shows, they would have the custom in Yerushalayim, when they would marry off somebody, they would write down the exact hour that the wedding occurred, and that would have a prior kadima to go collect and a ksuba that was written later that day to the same husband. Okay. Are you cooling out some shoachas? But let's say they all literally got married at the same time. You didn't have one ksuba being even an hour earlier than the other ksubas. All the ksubas were at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then the ain shom elamana, and the estate only has one mana, and the minimal amount of a ksuba, as we've already pointed out, is a mana. So in this situation, none of them can get their entire ksuba. So chokas v'shabas, each will get 25 of the 100. Even though they're entitled to much more, but there never isn't anything there, and they're all written at the same time, either the same hour or the same day in the previous case, and therefore you divide it up evenly, and you don't give out any more to one versus the other, because there is no priority for one versus the other, so they split it evenly, regardless of what their actual ksuba is worth. Since each of them has an entitlement to that mana, they each will be splitting it evenly. Now we start off with the Gemara. What was the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Benanis? Benanis said that the fourth woman also has to swear. The Tanakhama said that the fourth woman doesn't have to swear. So what are they arguing about? But Michael Miflagi. So Amar Shmuel, and we turn to Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph. Shmuel tells us, Kigon, Shenim says, Achas Mehen, Sode, She'eno Shalo. What happened over here is that one of them, the women who took the ksuba, ended up taking a field for what her ksuba was worth, but it turns out, let's say wife number one took a field, and it turns out that that field didn't really belong to her husband. It was actually somebody else's field, and somehow was in his estate, and it will be taken away. So now, in this situation, if wives two, three, and four had each taken their land, so they're entitled to it. So you can't go and say that they shouldn't be entitled to it, but if they made a shvua, so wife number two made a shvua, wife number three made a shvua, so Benana says that wife number four has to make a shvua as well to make sure that she didn't collect her ksuba in lifetime from her husband, so she also has to swear she didn't collect the ksuba. So Benana says that that has to be the case, whereas the Tanakhama doesn't worry about that. He says you don't have to make a shul in that situation for wife number four. Now Rashi explains in Sod Sheinu Shelo, he says, Shenoda Shegozla, that they find out that that field that, let's say, wife number one took was stolen. Vesov Sheovo Balim, and the original owners of that field are going to come and take it from the estate, Vitlenu Mimena, and she'll lose out on it. So therefore, if the fourth wife were to come to claim the suba from a fourth field, bazu, so wife number one would come, Piomedes, and she would say, Lemar, Lemacha Yavo Anigzal, the field that I took may not have really belonged to her husband, and the original owner is going to come and take it. Karachas, and I'll be bald. I'll be left over here with nothing. Therefore, Ritzoni Shetishboy, therefore I want you, wife number four, to swear, Shalogov is Subaser, that you didn't get any money under the table, so to say, from our husband during your lifetime. So this is the machlokes between the Tanakam, who says we don't make wife number four swear, and the Nanus, who says we do make wife number four swear. Now, so why? Why do they have this machlokas? So the din is, what happens if somebody grabs when they weren't theoretically entitled to it from a prioritization, but they were entitled to it? So wife number two, wife number three, wife number four are entitled to ksuba. Nobody's doubting that, but wife number one has a higher priority. So in this situation, they're arguing, the Tanakam and Benanis, what happens if somebody did take it? Would the person who had the high priority be allowed to take it from them? So wife number four now took a field, but wife number one was entitled to it, but she lost the field. Can she take it from wife number four? They're arguing about what happens if one of the later wives took, in fact, the field that she was entitled to, albeit not in that priority. So Tanakama holds, Tanakama Savar, Mashugova, Logova. Tanakama says that wife number four is going to lose out. Even though she took it, wife number one would have the right to go take it from her. So wife number two, wife number three as well, would have the right to go take it from her. So there's no reason for her to swear. Because let's say she swears that she didn't collect, or she did in fact collect. What difference does it make? You're going to go and take the field from her, so there's no problem, according to the Tanakama, no reason to make her swear. However, Benanis disagrees. Benanis Sovar, Masha Gova Gova. He says, if wife number four takes this field, she's entitled to it. So she doesn't have the same priority, but she is entitled to it, so we don't take it away from her once she took it. So therefore, wife number one or two or three can make wife number four swear, and therefore wife number four has to swear, according to Benanis, and the outside chance that subsequently wives number one, two, or three were to lose their fields, so they can come and claim it from wife number four, and therefore they wanted to go make the shvua now, before she takes it, that she didn't get their ksuba paid off secretly during her husband's lifetime, so they make her swear to that, and now when she collects the field, even though they won't be able to uproot it for her, from her, because she does have a claim to it, so in this situation, at least they made her make a shvua, so they know that she at least legitimately was collecting this field. Now, this is teretz number one. We have another teretz for this, but Mitzvah Shem, we'll pick that up tomorrow. We'll stop over here. And again, I want to wish everybody, I'm dictating this on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Again, take the opportunity to thank all the people for listening to my shiurim. I hope that they're meaningful and that they're enjoyable and that you're learning a lot from them. And B'ez Hashem, we should continue for many, 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 many years to come to learn together and to, in Mitzvah Shem, have sweet, happy, healthy years. We should all have a good Gebench Jor, and my wish to everybody in the families is for a kesiva v'chasima tova.